We're a little past the 9:20. Commissioner Hart is still not here. So we're gonna hold on the old business until Commissioner Hart's here. We'll give him to like 9:30 before we reconvene on that. But Commissioner Fowl has a comment.
Don't do a, it needs to be on your record, so.
Okay, then we'll just hold till 9:30. It's 9:30. Thanks for the patience and having the break. Commissioner Fowl has an item to discuss before we revisit old business.
Actually, it is the old business.
Oh, it is, okay.
It's related to old business, and it was a section that we covered during our special meeting. A task that I gave Mr. Carroll to look into the effects of private roads and easements within the zoning ordinance. And Mr. Carroll sent me an email with proposed potential language dealing with center lines of streets and alleys used as boundary markers. His suggestion was to potentially add the language, quote, the use of, oh, and I'm at 10:15:050, uncertainty of boundaries.
What page is that, sir?
10:15:050.
Oh, I thought maybe you were looking at the report that we could go to that page.
Well, it is in the, let's see here, there's 10:125. It was early on.
And I'm gonna put up Mr. Carroll's
Page 14. Yeah, page I should 14. Have printed out a copy of the email. I meant to.
It's trying to get me to log in, but I'll project it that way everyone knows.
I'll give you a second.
Thank you, sir.
Page 4, okay.
What page did you say?
14.
14, yeah, I knew it was early on. All right, so we're all in the same location. The proposed language, the use of such streets and alleys for district boundaries is only for the purpose of designating zones, and such boundaries do not have an effect, legal or otherwise, on the underlying property lines, easements, or other possessory interests of the property owners upon which the boundaries lie. And I slept on that for a day, and I can live with that. I like that language, and thank you for submitting that. That makes sense. It clears up potential property line gray areas.
You're welcome. I can understand why you want that clarification.
And I don't know if the other commissioners have any thoughts on
here's
that.
Here's the text, I believe.
But I thought it cleaned it up nicely.
Yeah, no, I support that.
And this was sent to our consultants to include.
Okay.
Thank you.
What effect, explain the effect of that change.
So when we were having the discussion a week ago or whenever it was in light of specifically Scott Valley, where the state on Highway 3 south of Horn Lane, the county on East Callahan Road south of Horn Lane have easements going through the ranches but don't own, it's not state property or county property where the road is. And in the case of Highway 3, my property line goes to the center line of Highway 3. Webster Trust is from center line. The the other direction, et cetera.
I know exactly.
And when we were looking at boundaries of parcels, zoning, et cetera, there was a little bit of gray area that the it was off the center line, was the boundary line, and that's why we cleaned this up. That in terms of zoning, yes, streets can be used, but that doesn't impact ownership of the parcel.
I know exactly.
Your old place is a prime example because you. Yep.
And Poole thought I shorted him on
right.
Acreage, and I said, I told
you. Chenoweth thought the same thing of Poole when Poole sold it to Chenoweth.
Okay, so are we good with that then? Commissioner Hart should be walking up any minute.
Okay, so we're going to be starting on two.
Page 200, what did you have up there?
205, 206.
205.
Yeah, it was the table, I think.
Yes.
It's where we left off.
It might be good just to start at the beginning of the table to make sure you didn't miss anything. And you do have to.
Okay.
Oh,
I was working on a hard copy. I can't find my notes on this. Let me pull this up real quick.
I got back in the right frame of mind. P means it's allowed.
Yes.
You made it.
Yeah. I guess, well, Commissioner Lindler's finding her notes. Question on an existing situation, and I'm looking maybe for legal definition from counsel on the table 10-125-1 on page 205. Racetracks for motor and non-motor vehicles. Are those vehicles that are occupied or sat upon by a human being and not inclusive of radio-controlled vehicles?
I think that's a question for the draft of the ordinance. They certainly could be, and...
Well, the reason I ask, and it's a issue right now, potentially, there's a parcel right off Highway 3 as you come into Fort Jones, and the family has constructed an amazing RC track for radio-controlled vehicles. It's an off-road for the little ones. And I don't know how many have driven by and seen it. I don't know if you saw it on the way to Bruce Oxley's service or not. But it's an impressive track, and it occupies an area of maybe 40 by 80 feet.
Okay.
It is not ugly, and it's a neat thing, but I see here in this table racetracks for motor and non-motor vehicles. Are we referring to vehicles that are occupied by a human being, or does that also include radio control? In which case, that parcel, I think it's AG2, but it may be rural residential. I'm trying to remember. It was involved in a rezoning parcel split early 2000s.
Is it in the city limits?
No. It's in unincorporated. It's right across from Shirley Tickner's and Bud Tozier's old place, and opposite the highway of Buffy Fisher. And that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, I mean, my professional opinion, I can go either way, right? It's how we want to define it. I don't have any, like, planning heartburn over allowing one or the other or both. You know, my thought is to be inclusive, so, you know, the development could occur.
Here's where I have a potential concern.
Okay.
Is if it ends up being a location of events, then ingress egress off of Highway 3 potentially could be an issue.
Yeah.
And parking as it relates to 4290 regs, even though it's right there on the highway. I don't know if a use permit is necessary, but perhaps an administrative, an AUP discussion should be had so that the landowner is aware there is potential liability there.
And it could be a scalability thing, right? Where we allow an AUP for a small, every once in a while, you know, a kid birthday party, you go to that, you know, or something like that versus a routine every day or heavy on the weekend. So something to think about.
It has been put out on Facebook as a location, a destination location.
For clubs.
Yes,
for
clubs. And so, I don't want to be the person that turns them in. I'm not complaining about it.
No, I think it's cool.
But I think that the landowner may not be aware of the potential liability they're opening themselves up to in terms of ingress, egress,
yes, it becomes a thing,
et cetera.
So, Commissioner Fowle, I did want to provide some historical background on this section for you and the commissioners. So, racetracks for motor and non-motorized vehicles, this is on in our existing code. Right now, it's only allowed in heavy industrial. When we drafted this, we said, well, racetracks might make sense in AG2, and so we put it into this table to give you that option. And basically, this only involves, it gives examples in our current code for bicycles, motorcycles, automobiles, and similar vehicles. So they're thinking human-operated, driven vehicles. But again, Haley's right. Planning wouldn't have any issue if it was just remote controlled. But it specifically excludes animal racing right now. But we could include animal racing if that's what you wanted to.
Well, and so there's part two of my question. I don't think it's functioning anymore, but we used to have the chariot racetrack just outside McDowell, and that's on AG2 land. Yes, it's animal, but I don't have a problem with that either. And it's far enough off 97 where parking, ingress, egress is not an issue. The access to it is a clearly marked road, even though they're not running there anymore.
Would it make sense for the commission to include that specifically as a category? Because right now we don't have it in the code, animal racing.
Well, for me, that's what I'm wondering.
Why don't we?
Because otherwise, it could change again, and someone in the future might say, well, no, it's not in.
Yeah.
You know, horse racing isn't included, so you can't do that on AG2. Right. So it might make sense to include that, and this is the opportunity to include
the
types
of
uses.
And we also have the dog racing track outside Tule Lake, where they race greyhounds. We have a number of racetracks
that aren't
motorized, but are
not in the code,
not
either.
Mentioned in the code.
So
and I'm not saying
sense.
We don't want to not allow them. I'm in favor of that, but we need to make sure that whoever replaces Haley or the next planning director, we could end up with a director that says, not in code, not allowed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here, making sure, trying to say, okay, let's make sure we try to cover everything, whether it's allowed by right, allowed by AUP, or allowed by use permit.
Yep, I agree. And with that, I've got more questions, and it is backing up to, I think it's page 197 at the very beginning of the 10.125-1. So just, you know, needing points of clarification on, I think, definitions of what is the difference. So,
are we good on the racetracks though? AUP, UP, or
I might comment that I looked in the definitions index of our ordinance here. There's nothing for non-motor vehicles, so we could write a definition, I suppose, for it and decide whether or not to include remote vehicles, remote RCVs.
I think right now, my personal position is I'm fine with it on AG2. with an AUP with a note that if the director feels that it is more than a major development, that the director has the ability to refer it to the planning commission based on size and scope, but allow whether it be dog, horse, RC, etc.
Okay.
Let that be handled potentially as an AUP, mm-hmm. but could be could require a UP based on size and scope.
Yeah,
and that's what I'd be comfortable
with. And that's in line with our newer processes we've updated, right? Having things in AUP, but they can always be elevated to PC right. if needed. So
if the other commissioners are okay with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, now let's go to your desk.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we cleared that one up.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the very beginning of the table, the 10.125-1, I think it's 197, very beginning.
Commissioner Beal, I'll throw it up on the screen
okay.
to make it easier. That's the, yeah.
So, yeah. So, and if you wouldn't mind scrolling down just
of
a little
course,
bit. So we have, yeah, right there, perfect. So, looking at this, and I'm, you know, trying to nitpick the TPZ, because that's my comfort level there. Okay, definition difference between an accessory dwelling unit, a caretaker's unit, a guest house, like, because to me a guest house could be an ADU. Like, what is the distinction there? Because I see, like, you can have an ADU but not a guest house. So what is that?
So a guest house is typically defined as a dwelling unit without, like, kitchen facilities, right?
Okay.
So ADUs can operate as their own dwelling unit, right? Whereas the guest house is, I believe it could be connected or not connected. It's typically connected, but there may be a bathroom, maybe not. It's just, you know, an additional, you know,
but
dwelling
no cooking.
Area. Right, so it's not a standalone.
Okay.
How does it get the term house included then if there's no ability to prepare food? Because isn't the definition of a house septic and food? Dwelling would
right.
make sense, no kitchen, but guest house, by legal definition, I would think would include the ability to prepare food.
Yes, and the guest house term is a carryover from our old code, and obviously these definitions of ADUs and guest homes have changed many times over the years, so I think that's why it's, you know, embedded in the table is that that has been our historical term. We can
okay.
we can update it.
Yeah, because my confusion is
yeah.
trying to read this. Like, I don't, and then,
yeah,
you know, going on, like, okay.
So here's
from
the
a guest
yeah.
house to.
What is the current definition?
187.
You cast it without a kitchen. Okay, so then could you look at the definition of a caretaker's unit?
Yeah, so as I'm looking that up, it's going to be.
It's for a business site.
Yeah, specifically, the person's only there specifically for that
caretaker
for
property.
That use. Hold on.
Yeah, caretaker units are very common on, like, storage, mini storage facility properties. You know, you typically will see
we
someone
with a bottling
yeah.
facility.
Right, or
that,
other,
that
in other industry.
Yeah.
Yep. So then let me just ask you this. With that line of thought,
yeah.
that's what my understanding was.
Yeah.
So we're allowing, if you go back to that table, and
yes, sir.
Let you page over there. So we're allowing employee housing, but they can't have a caretaker's unit.
And
so how does that look?
And
it's
employee
to me
housing is different, right? Because that's typically
so what's employee?
Ag related, and that employee housing is defined, I believe, by the state of California.
If you think about in a logging context, employee housing would be the people that are doing the cutting.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And
no. And show. Typically they'll stay in trailers.
Yeah.
You know, they'll
right,
bring the driver trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So employee housing though there is not a caretaker's unit.
Right.
That's employee housing. Is that more temporary then?
Here's that definition.
The structures. Not likely, but the influx of the employees, yes, right?
Okay.
So
that's, I'm just trying to wrap my head, like, okay, trying to figure out, okay, you can have this, this, and this, but not that.
So
I'm just
you're
going to
have a structure, call it employee housing, not caretaker.
Yeah.
Think of caretaker on heavy industrial.
Right.
light industrial, commercial, TPZ, ag, etc. would be employee. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then with that, so you know, is it based on code so that, like, for the employee housing, to me, it makes sense, like, well, you just build a little duplex, but you can't build a duplex. Because I do understand the single family home restriction within mm-hmm. the state TPZ.
Right.
But is that why it's, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, you can have a main house, you can have a single family dwelling, and then you can have employee housing.
So employee housing generally is kind of like a barracks that it's not, they're not expecting full families there, right? Does that make sense?
It'd be like you could bring in a manufacturer
right.
that has.
Yes.
No, you can't.
Yes.
Well,
you can.
No.
As
well,
employee housing, you can bring in
no,
a manufactured home.
No,
yeah,
go to TPZ, then we need to change that.
Yeah.
Go to TPZ.
It's P.
Right there. Go to TPZ.
It's allowed by right with zoning clearance permit.
Manufactured home. Go down,
no,
please.
Employee housing. You call it employee housing. You're missing the point.
Regardless of the type of home, you call
yeah,
it employee
if it's
housing.
Employee housing, it can be stick frame.
Understood.
Or manufactured.
Okay, because in my head, what I'm trying to do is, like, I'm putting them in a manufactured home.
No.
Therefore, it's not allowed. So that's how I was
the
reading that.
The use is different,
yes.
right?
So this is the use, not the type of building.
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because in my head I'm like,
yeah,
these things are not marrying up right.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked the question about guest house, because to me the term house implies ability to sustain oneself, which would include a kitchen.
Got it.
I get that it's older carryover, and perhaps that need. Is that a state term or is it county?
Thinking out loud, it may be defined. Well, and I wonder if that's how it's defined in the building code too, because the building code still has, you know, outdated terms. So I'm as long as, and we'll verify this, if guest house isn't the defined term in the building code, I have no problem updating. I would say if that is the term in the building code, we should stick with it to stay consistent.
Okay. Okay. So it's the use. And
yes,
then, so with
correct.
That, I just want to double check that we did allow, and I brought this comment up last time, home occupation, home enterprise was a note to allow in TPZ? AUP?
As an AUP?
Yes. On both of those? Thank
yes.
you.
If there's an existing dwelling on that property.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, what page are you? Oh, and I was on, I guess, page 197. What's a contractor yard? So it's not allowed by TPZ, but I'm thinking, and maybe this is me, again, not understanding the definition, but, like, it is very common for our contractors to park equipment.
Oh, yeah, that's permitted. It's
but
temporary.
That's not this type of contractor.
Yeah, contractor yard in this contact is, like, it's there forever. That's what they're basing
the
it
that's
out.
What the use
different.
Is.
Okay,
yeah,
I just want to double check that.
Yeah.
So this
yeah.
is a permanent yard.
Yeah.
Okay, not, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just double checking.
Like a temporary
work
camp would be totally okay.
Yep,
yeah.
So that doesn't mean logging contractor. And then you did get the electrical generation facility on page 197 for TPZ as a use permit in your notes.
Page 197?
Yes, please.
Give me 1 second. When you say electrical generation,
Electrical generation facility. When I was during the it's right,
okay.
right there. Oh, your document's different than mine printed. Okay, right there we had a note that it was going to be a UP. The reason is during the last meeting on the 3rd, I looked up the state definition. It did allow for
that's in my notes.
Okay, thank you.
So you want it to be a UP and TPZ?
Mm-hmm.
What
yes.
about an AG2 and AG1 and open space?
I mean, do you guys have hydro facilities or any other type of electrical generation on your waterways?
So, this is the position I take, and it's the policy that I actually wrote for California Farm Bureau. I support power, alternative methods of power generation, as long as it is not taking productive ag land out of production.
Right.
Amen to that.
Therefore, I support solar panels on roofs. I support solar on non-productive ag, i.e. rock. I support hydro. Wind, I am less excited about. I think maybe it has a place, but I think I'm a little more use permit-ish if it would come to wind. But it, generation of power cannot take for ag ground out of production.
How about a well site? Would be no buildings to put a roof panel on?
Well, like we had a project that ended up falling through on a diversion that was going to pump instead of be gravity flow water. The pump was going to be operated by solar power. That solar panel field was going to be put basically on a serpentine mound that grows nothing.
Okay,
but it ended up falling through.
Okay. But on at Four Corners, the road that goes to the golf course, there's a, isn't there a pump there with the solar panels that's taking up ag land, right?
I'm just saying what how I feel.
Yeah.
There's some places that have done it wisely in the Central Valley where the panels have been raised up in fields and they're still grazing underneath it and it's productive. There are other places
I know the fear you're talking
that
about.
That sprayed out 200 acres and laid in solar panels and took ag land out of production. The county decided, that county said, oh, that's okay. I have a problem with that.
Oh, and I think it's a matter of degrees.
Yep.
So this is the change we made, a use permit for TPZ. Do we have an agreement or a consensus on whether or not we want to allow that in those other zones there? I can put that in there so we can transmit it to the consultants.
So here, once again, here's a definition question. The word facility is in that describer. When I see facility, I think generating for more than personal use.
So here's the definition that we have currently. An electrical generation facility using thermal, wind, or water energy, including but not limited to biomass plants, wind farms, coal-fired plants, or thermal power plants with a generation capacity of less than 50 megawatts. So it doesn't include solar farms. Solar farms are defined separately, in which case, I don't think we even have solar farms in the table, so we might want to include solar farms as a specific category if it's being defined separately.
So I would say under this definition, I hate to say the use permit. I don't want to if somebody has a ditch and it's flowing 30 CFS of water and there's the ability to pipe it and put an inline hydro generator to generate power within the pipeline, within an easement of an existing irrigation ditch, you should not need a use permit to do that.
Right.
You should be able to do that by right.
Yeah.
So I guess use permit, no. AUP may be necessary because I think in order to connect that generator to the grid for access by the water right holders, the power company is going to require approval by the county, so an AUP would probably be appropriate, but not a use permit.
Yeah, and the definition right now in the draft code for solar farm.
In order to hook up to provide power, you're not selling it to them, but the water right, that's what we end up doing.
Well, we're going to go back. Go ahead. I want to
The draft definition for a solar farm is a commercial energy generation facility that generates electricity from via the PV arrays, solar thermal systems, or concentrated solar power facilities. So in my mind, the piece is commercial, right? Mm-hmm. Versus using it for personal use, you know, or as part of your business, right? Which is the situation you're describing. And I just want to note, you know, in our research of uses throughout the past years, it's very common in ag heavy counties. Like Fresno County actually has like a whole page on this, and it's, I really like it, and I would like to have that one day where it clearly defines what you're talking about. You know, if you're taking it out of production and it's going to be a thing, you need a use permit or to rezone based on, you know, all of these findings. Or if you're using it for personal use as part of your operation, it's allowed. Or, you know, but an admin use permit also makes sense as well, just so it's on record, you know, to have. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think with that definition, the key is the commercial piece, right, versus a personal, you know.
PD. Yeah, use permit for commercial.
Yeah.
For personal, I would say AUP only for getting it signed off by the utility company, which Pacific Power we won't have probably here.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to be Surprise Valley.
Oh.
Yeah, and that is different than what's allowed on TPZ, because on TPZ, through the state statute, it says the erection, construction, alteration, or maintenance of gas, electric, water, or communication transmission mm-hmm. facilities. So that's a much broader definition. So,
Commissioner Hart,
do you have something on that?
Yeah, I want to go back to this. Use permit for solar panels for generation of electricity to run a pump on AG2 ground that has never been farmed. It's covered with sagebrush, Medusa head, and chaparral. There shouldn't be a use permit, there shouldn't be any restriction to do that. There's already a project in the Shasta Valley. It's a $2 million project to remove a diversion dam downstream, 2 miles, pumping water all the way back 2 miles, irrigate the ranch, to create fish habitat, and it's all run on solar that you cannot see from the road. There shouldn't be any involvement from county government for a landowner to comply with the Endangered Species Act and water issues in this state. If there's an economic way to do that, because just look at the power costs. If you can get a grant to put in solar to substitute from running a line that's above ground, that's the difference between profit and loss and losing the whole ranching operation.
Yeah, I hear that.
So that would be private use?
There's no public use.
Yeah.
PP&L is not going to buy any power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Period. Or whoever comes in, they're not going to buy it.
Well, Surprise will.
We'll see. I mean, you look at the cogen plant weed, had a 25-year contract with City of Reading, and because of all the Mickey Mouse stuff that went on, mm-hmm. that contract got lost, and now that plant sits there that could generate a tremendous amount of electricity because of all the biomass we got in this county. But nobody can touch it because nobody's going to buy the electricity now. Mm-hmm.
So, Commissioner Hart, the way it's set up now is exactly the way you are suggesting, like personal use or agricultural use. It's not going to require anything. I misspoke earlier saying solar farms were not included in the table. They are in the table. Right now, a commercial solar farm needs a use permit from the Planning Commission in AG1 and AG2. Are we wanting to include solar farms as a use permit on TPZ as well? We can make that change now.
Well, not really. I mean, that is not compatible with timber. That would be, if somebody wanted to do a solar farm on TPZ, they would need to do it. Depending on the scale, they would need to do a full timberland conversion.
Yeah, because they can't plant trees with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a conversion to timberland. So I mean,
and then
you're not even.
So, solar farm, that's beyond personal use.
Yes.
I have a problem. I think we should have a dash on AG1. Should not be allowed. Mm-hmm. Period.
Okay.
But use permit AG2, I know the location Commissioner Hart mentioned, I believe it is AG2, but it's for personal use, so it should be allowed by right.
I think there should be a scope.
Maybe there's a potential for a use permit on AG2.
Well, I view a solar farm as something that is commercial in the scale that we're all talking about. I think there should be another line item for, you know, ranches to do what Commissioner Hart is doing, so that there is zero confusion in what we were meaning, because this is going to be a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
I fully support going solar, especially with the cost of commercial electricity for ag, going solar if they can. And I think that should be a different line item is what I would recommend. So there's no, it's not a solar farm per se. It's a solar, I don't know, what would you call that?
Non-commercial
alternative energy generation.
Because there are numerous places out in Big Spring. I can show you where there are at least six solar arrays running huge pumps on one ranch. Are we going to go back and go, okay, you guys need to come back in and go through the permit process to get it okay to do that? Because it's already existing. They're free and clear.
They're not
pre-existing.
Yeah.
I would recommend, you know, say for electrical generation facility, following Vice Chair Lindler's comment, maybe we just say non-commercial electrical generation facility for agricultural uses, and then have AUP. Does that make sense? Because then that would spit out the commercial aspect from the agricultural non-commercial aspect of that.
Does that make sense?
So it'd be a lower, and like existing uses we would just allow because they're existing uses, but new people coming in would be like, you just get a administrative permit from the county so they're aware that it's being constructed. But that would solve that issue right there. We just have another line underneath that, and the same with the solar farms.
So could you write that up so we can see what you're saying?
Add personal, that's for personal, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but
like non-commercial, I think would
like if you're doing maybe non-commercial or not for sale, because you could have a irrigation ditch with a hydro generator that would be providing power to 9 ranches.
Do you want to?
You are not commercial. It's still private use, but it's a group that is on a ditch.
Do you want to limit it to agricultural uses or just non-commercial?
I wouldn't conflate it there because they could use it for their homes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I actually know some clients on TPZ that have solar arrays.
And I would say AG2 allowed by right. AG1 would require administrative.
What about TPZ, sir?
I think that one, you know, it just depends on the size of it. Because, like, if it's on an existing structure, the definition of timberland conversion is what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so limited.
How much acreage is
it? It could be a tree. It's so ridiculous. It could be a 1 foot by 1 foot area of timber land that you are converting to a non-timbered use. And maybe I'm being a little pedantic, but not
because you're doing the driveway.
Yeah. Like I've had to do timberland conversion permits for a tree in a lawn that the building was being expanded. And I've also had to do timberland conversion permits in areas with no trees getting cut down. But because it was available and capable.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it would make sense to make it a use permit.
I would do a UP there so there's that review.
Then you guys have a chance to review it.
Well, and you guys have a chance to review it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it is going to need some kind of timberland conversion.
Right. And TPZ.
Now stay on this table because this was another question that I had that I didn't ask last meeting. Fertilizer production. By definition, does that include compost? Because we have
or biochar.
We have a dairy that does make compost. We're going to have a feedlot that will be making compost. We have a couple contractors who have compost topsoil designated areas on their sites, which are fully legal and I have no problem with.
Mm-hmm.
But on that table, fertilizer products is rather broad.
Right.
And compost is a fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see that if it, that fertilizer production.
We do have a definition.
It is broad though, yeah.
It's very broad. Yeah.
It's just basically finished fertilizer products. So that's the compost you get.
That's compost. And
that's topsoil.
Yeah. Well, and on TPZ, a new and emerging market, we'll see if it takes off, is biochar. And then we inoculate it or compost it.
Right.
And that would be made right on site.
Would it be a good idea to keep it broad, though? That way it covers.
I think you could leave this broad, but I think in the table,
okay.
I would throw, rather than not allowed, I would go AUP.
Okay.
On
AG2 or AG1?
I think AUP on AG1 would be appropriate, also on AG2, because that way, obviously, if you're going to do composting, it's just going to be a rubber stamp, yeah, do it. If it's beyond composting and somebody's wanting to bring in and create urea or whatever, okay, we may need to put on
where would that project that's happening in Fort Jones, you know, how they're composting or the live animal products? You know
well,
what I'm talking about?
So that, yes, and it's part of the grant that Jim Smith got. I think an AUP would be appropriate there because there are going to need to be some controls, you know, some fencing.
Would you consider that under fertilizer production?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That
would cover that.
That's a compost.
Perfect.
Place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then on TPZ, I'd make it a UP.
Anyway, okay.
Just because of that biochar potential.
Yeah, I think this format's more productive where you guys can actually see the results and just.
I don't know that it's CUP.
Oh, that UP.
Yeah, thank you.
Just out of habit.
Yeah.
Like.
Any other comments on that before we go to the next page?
Yes, on that bottom one, it was the ice manufacturing and cold storage. Is there a size and area square footage that triggers cold storage? Because we are going to see an increase, and I myself am probably a non-conforming pre-existing use, but I've got chest freezers down in the barn that I sell. You know, I'll sell a half a beef and it gets killed, cut, wrapped. The buyer doesn't have room for the whole thing. I section off a chest freezer. I'm providing cold storage. I'm not charging for it. That's included in the purchase of the animal. But at what point does cold storage become a thing?
So this is that definition, Commissioner Fowle.
Commercial.
So
by word.
So it's not in your situation, you're not actually selling the water, the frozen ice and stuff. It's just part of the service that you provided as part of your agricultural
okay,
thing.
So right. Cold storage does not
like a standalone use
infer storage of meat. It is ice specifically.
Yeah, I'm also thinking like cold storage of our seedlings.
Right.
And again, this is a old definition carryover.
Right.
You know, I don't think in my career I've ever heard anyone wanting to submit a permit for cold storage.
Well, I mean,
back
in the
70s, yeah, it
at
was
Dottie's,
thing.
There on the corner,
right.
Was an ice machine.
Right.
And they made and sold ice commercially.
Right. Yeah.
And
so,
to that point, because we're on this topic, say somebody wanted to build a cold storage facility on TPZ, which is like a giant walk-in cooler, sometimes the size of this room. Where would they be able to do that? under which topic?
Would you want those type of structures
on
TPZ?
Commercials. It's for commercial.
Well,
because
potentially,
that so
much. You know, part of the legal definition of TPZ is as a residence or other structure necessary for the management of land zone as timberland production.
Would it be permanent or temporary?
Well, true. We bring in temporary and then it's on wheels, too, right? We bring in reefer vans.
Temporary would be non-issue.
Non-issue.
Yeah, but if they're setting up a commercial ice business on TPZ.
Yeah,
because
it's like
know.
Our nurseries, like Cal Forest or SPI, they've got... My dream storage.
But that their main purpose isn't ice. It's they're using that as part of their mm-hmm. nursery.
No, yeah, it's a walk-in cooler to keep the trees.
See, I don't think we would permit something like that. It would be more like a company down in, say, like Mount Shasta. They sell ice.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
so
I get
you
that.
You wouldn't want a manufacturing plant on TPZ yeah. doing that. You know, but if it's part of their processing of timber or processing agricultural products. They use ice, they store ice, they use storage. We wouldn't want to permit any of that. That's just be allowed. That would be how I would interpret it.
Okay, and then to that point though, and I understand under the cold storage, but say other outbuildings. In the state definition, it says other structures necessary mm-hmm. for the management of land zone as TPZ. Mm-hmm. So say somebody wanted to build, you know, some of these larger properties that I manage. Say somebody wanted to build a shop, which, yes, you may need a TPZ conversion. But outside of that, in code, where would they be able to build a shop to support their forestry equipment, like rather they had quad runners or
well, those
whatever.
Would be accessory to the, we would go back up to just accessory structures, right? Because it's always accessory to the primary.
Mm-hmm. Is that the, see, I see accessory dwelling.
Yeah, let me see accessory. It might be on the bottom of this chart.
Okay.
Right, usually they have, give me one second.
Yeah, no worries.